Thank you for joining us for our broadcast today. My name is Ben Bailey.
And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Welcome to our study of the book of Matthew. Matthew enters us into the first phase in the New Testament, the gospel accounts. All of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teach us about the life of Christ, what Jesus did, how he died, and especially how he came to save men from their sins. As we think about the gospel of Matthew in particular, Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews about the greatest Jew to ever live. Matthew is all about the life and teaching of the King, Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the key words is going to be the word kingdom in the book of Matthew. Matthew uses the idea of the kingdom 55 times. He talks about the kingdom of heaven, which is a unique phrase that only Matthew uses. And thus, he is going to stress to the Jews that Jesus is the King of a new kingdom, a kingdom that came down from God, ordained from all time, that Jesus is the head of. Knowing that he is writing to Jews, Matthew uses the only way he knows to reach these people. Matthew is going to go back to the Old Testament over and over again. He is going to draw out prophecy and scriptures that are pointing to Jesus, and he is going to say that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. And so in essence, he's going to show to the Jews from their own scripture that Jesus is the Messiah and that he meets every prophecy and every qualification necessary. And so the book of Matthew, it's all about the life and teaching of the King, Jesus Christ. Especially our section today, Matthew chapter 1 through 3, is going to introduce us to the birth of the King. Here we're going to see that the King, Jesus Christ, is going to be born. As we think about Matthew, he begins in Matthew chapter 1 talking about how that Jesus is of royal lineage. This is what might seem a little odd to us, but to the Jew, this would be the most fundamental thing, most fundamental step in showing that Jesus has the right to the throne of David. If Jesus is not of royal lineage, then there's no way the Jews would accept him. And it's important for us also because it shows us the fulfillment of prophecy and that, yes, Jesus is a descendant of David and has a right. As a result, he does have the right to be on the throne of David. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 is going to open up the very first words of the book by saying, "This book is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Beginning with the two most important figures he knows, the son of David, the son of Abraham, Matthew is now going to stress the right lineage of Jesus. You see, the lineage of Jesus is important for a couple of reasons. It first of all stresses that Jesus has the right to the throne and to the promises. Because he is the son of David, he now has the right to succeed or to sit in the place of David on that throne. Because Jesus also meets prophecy, this is going to show us that he fulfills what the Old Testament said in every way. For example, Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. The Old Testament said that a scepter, a kingly one, would rise out of Judah. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we are told that one of the seed of Abraham was going to bless all nations. That one who is of the seed of David, who is out of the tribe of Judah, and who is the lineage of Abraham, is none other than Jesus himself. And so, Matthew is going to begin with these two great figures, and it's interesting for us to think about Abraham and David for just a moment. Matthew begins probably with talking about Abraham because of the great link that he has to the Jewish people. Abraham was the founder of the Jewish faith. You think again of Genesis chapter 12, and God told Abraham, "Get up from your country. I'm going to tell you to go to a new place. You go." And because of Abraham's great faith in God, he followed God. He went where God told him, and God said in that text, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And in your seed, all nations will be blessed." Now, who is that seed? Why is it interesting that Matthew begins by talking about Jesus as the son of Abraham? We learn from Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 18, that Jesus is that seed. not seeds of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. Who was it that in the long ago, in Genesis 12, God was speaking about the descendants of Abraham? No, not at all. Jesus the Christ is who is spoken of in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is why Matthew begins talking about Abraham. Abraham was the man whom the promised blessing was made to. Again, given in Genesis 12, but also given in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Let's notice for just a moment this great promise. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Now, this was the promise given initially to Abraham, but also given to Isaac, showing the following descendants would be the ones who kept and who led this promise down the line to Jesus. But as we think about this great promise, all of it was dependent upon Abraham and Isaac and these descendants obeying the voice of God. And so here's the promise to Abraham, the promise to Isaac, ultimately being fulfilled in Jesus, that he, not Abraham and Isaac, but that Jesus would be the one to bless all nations. Friends, there is a very powerful and important point to note here, and that is that if people are going to be blessed by God, if they are going to enjoy the blessings and the benefits that God so wishes to give people, it will only be found in Jesus. There is no hope, there is no joy, there is no peace, there is no comfort outside of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, when He said in John 14:6, said so much, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." In Ephesians 1, verse 3, we're told that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. You cannot be blessed in Abraham. You cannot be blessed in Isaac. You cannot be blessed in Moses in the Old Law. But Jesus, He's the one who gives us that great hope. As we think about Abraham being an important part in the lineage of Christ, we also note in James 2 and verse 23 that Abraham is one of very few people who is referred to as the friend of God. Wouldn't it be great to have someone in your family lineage who is referred to as God's friend? That's the importance of Abraham in the lineage of Jesus. The Jews held this man up on a pedestal, and to say that Jesus came from Abraham was a great tribute to Abraham, but more importantly, to those who would be followers of Jesus, Christians, down the road. As we think about people in the lineage of Christ, there's another important name to focus on for just a minute, and that is the Son of David. Here Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. Now, this again is a very important part of the lineage of Christ because David was known as the greatest king to ever live. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, there's no king greater than David. In fact, in Acts chapter 2, though, even though David was such a great king and everyone held him in great respect, in Acts chapter 2, David actually calls Jesus Lord. And so even though David was a great king, through prophecy, David spoke of the Christ as his Lord. And so here you've got this great king, and yet the King David himself refers to Jesus as being one greater than he. David being in the lineage of Christ is also very, very important because we know that the promised Messiah was going to come through the lineage of Jesus. The Jews knew this. As they studied the Old Testament Scriptures, they knew that this Messiah, He was going to come through the lineage of David. For example, let's notice what 2 Samuel 7 says about this lineage coming through Jesus. In 2 Samuel 7, verse 12 and 13, we are told, speaking to David, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Here's that great promise. Someone coming after you, God says to David, "I'm going to set up his throne. He's going to be king, and it's going to last forever." Who is that? None other than Jesus. For in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33, in the parallel account of Jesus' birth, the prophecy is given to Mary, "He shall be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end." You see, friends, Jesus meets in every aspect. Being the son of Abraham, the son of David, he has every right to be the King of the Jews. And we need to know today that in a practical way, Jesus needs to be King of our life. What does it matter if we say today that, yes, I agree that Jesus is the King of the Jews. And yes, I agree that Jesus is King today. Here's what it matters. If Jesus is King, then the practical lesson is, I need to let Him rule my life. I need to let Him be the King and the Lord of my life. Peter's going to preach in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." The idea of Lord or King carries with it the idea of ownership and being a master, a subservient role for us also. And so if Jesus is King, here's the lesson. Let's let Him be King. Let's let Him be King of our lives, and let's live our lives in such a way that we show respect, that we show ourselves as servants, and that we pay tribute to the King, like Abraham did to God, by obeying His voice and doing what He says. Now, in the lineage of Jesus, there are a couple of other names that we find significant. There are two Gentile women who are mentioned in the lineage of Jesus. You've got two women, not of Jewish descent, not carrying any great power or prestige like Abraham and David, and yet they find themselves a place in the lineage of Christ. The two women we're talking about are Rahab and Ruth, Gentile descendants, Gentile women in the lineage of Christ. These women are known, and especially in both contexts, the one in Judges and the one in Ruth, known for their great faith. They're great women of faith in the Bible. In fact, we see this great faith mentioned several times. As we think about Rahab, you remember the story in the book of Judges. The spies come. They come to the city, and Rahab brings them into the inn. She helps them escape. Even though she knows that if she did so, she could lose her life, she says, "I've heard about your God, and I'm going to help these people." Rahab does find herself in the lineage of Christ, even though she wasn't of the best background. She was a woman of great faith. She trusted in God, and she helped the plan of God, even though she may not have known it at that time. Ruth is another great woman of faith who finds herself in the lineage of Christ. You remember the story of Ruth. Ruth, the daughter-in-law of Naomi, a woman of great faith. Their sons die, the father dies. As a result, Ruth and Naomi are there together, and it's a very interesting scene. In Ruth chapter 1, Naomi tells her, "You need to go back to your people, you need to go back to your land." Ruth says this, "Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people." Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And so, as we think about these great women, it ought to encourage all of us to know that even people who may not be like Abraham and may not be like David can play a very important role in the plan of God. Who knows whether you've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. We need to realize that if we'll let God, if we'll have faith in Him, if we'll trust in Him, if we'll do what God wants us to do, He can use us for great things today to reach out to the lost and to be an encouragement to those who are around us. And so today, since we do have sin, we must first believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Having believed in Him, I must do as John did when he preached. I must tell people to repent, and I must change my life if I need to make things right with God. And then I must confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. And yes, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said it so plainly, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." And so Matthew 1 teaches us to glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords even from His birth.